Let's start where the most urgent news is this morning, and that's Ukraine. Russia has now conducted its second mass bombardment of Kyiv in 4 days. At least 22 people were killed in the latest strike, and the detail that jumps out immediately, 0 ballistic missiles were intercepted. Not one. Zelensky has arrived in Ankara for the NATO summit, and he is pressing allies hard for additional Patriot missile systems. To understand why this matters so much, Sarah, walk us through what failed here.
The technical picture here is damning. Modern Russian strikes on Kyiv typically involve a layered assault. Ballistic missiles coming in on steep high-speed trajectories, combined with cruise missiles and Shahed drones to saturate and confuse air defense systems. The Patriot system is specifically designed to handle ballistic threats, but it has a finite magazine. If Russia times a salvo to deplete interceptors first, and then sends ballistic missiles immediately after, you get exactly what happened Sunday night. The drones and cruise missiles eat the available intercepts, and the ballistic missiles get through. This isn't a failure of the technology itself. It's a capacity problem. Ukraine needs more launchers and more interceptor missiles, not just one or two Patriot batteries.
And that's exactly the argument Zelensky is making in Ankara right now. He arrived there carrying the moral weight of 26 deaths across 2 strikes in 4 days. The broader toll since the bombardment cycle began is at least 26 people. When he walks into that summit room and faces NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte and the assembled heads of state, the ask is specific: more Patriots, more interceptor stocks, and a timeline for delivery. What's the political environment in Ankara right now for that request?
The summit context is complicated in a way that actually works somewhat in Zelensky's favor and somewhat against him simultaneously. Rutte announced coming into this summit that NATO allies are already collectively spending 4% of GDP on defense, and he's pushing for a credible roadmap to 5%. The fact that the alliance is already at 4% reflects a genuine transformation from just 5 years ago, when most members were struggling to hit 2%. That's real money and real capability being added. But the conversation about 5% also reveals a fracture. Some European governments are looking at their domestic political situations and seeing voters who elected them on economic growth platforms, not military expansion. The ask for more Patriots has to compete with that reality.
There's also the industrial capacity question, which I think doesn't get enough attention in these discussions. Even if NATO members commit to transferring more Patriot systems tomorrow, the interceptor missiles themselves, the PAC-2 and PAC-3 rounds, take months to manufacture. Raytheon has expanded production capacity, but it is not unlimited. Ukraine can receive a launcher that has no missiles to fire if the supply chain doesn't support it. The weapons pipeline is as much a manufacturing policy question as it is a foreign policy question.
Which brings me to the NATO decision that deserves more scrutiny than it's getting this week, given all the other news. NATO has selected Saab's GlobalEye system to replace its aging AWACS fleet. The airborne warning and control system aircraft that NATO has flown since the 1970s are reaching the end of their operational lives, and GlobalEye is the chosen successor. This is a significant contract for Saab, a Swedish company, and it reflects the broader diversification of European defense industrial capacity. Sweden joined NATO in 2024, and here's Stockholm's signature defense firm winning one of the alliance's flagship procurement contracts within 2 years of membership. That's a fast integration story.
The AWACS replacement also matters strategically because these are the aircraft that provide theater-level awareness, the ability to see the entire battle space and coordinate air operations. If there's ever a scenario where NATO's Article 5 is invoked in the Baltic states or Poland, those GlobalEye aircraft are what stitch together the alliance's air response. The decision to modernize now, while the war in Ukraine is active and Russian capabilities are being stress-tested in real time, is actually good timing from a learning perspective.
One more data point from Ankara worth noting. The $8 billion in maritime defense deals that landed in a single day. That figure reflects a broader pattern we've been tracking. Naval power is back at the center of alliance thinking after decades where land and air dominated defense procurement. with Russia's Black Sea Fleet, Chinese naval expansion, and the Taiwan Strait question looming, the maritime dimension of NATO's posture is getting serious investment. $8 billion in a single day is a sign of just how compressed the procurement timeline has become.